What is the ultimate purpose of man? I'm sure you may have heard this question before. It's the well-known first question of the Catechism. The ultimate purpose of man is to worship God and to enjoy Him forever. It is not just the ultimate purpose for us, but it's the ultimate purpose for all men. All are created to love God with all their hearts, with all their mind, with all their strength. All are called to become worshippers of Almighty God, because it is God who gives life and sustains life. It is God who takes life. God cares for His creation. It is God who gives salvation. If we search high and low and far and wide, nothing in all creation can compare with Almighty God. And Psalm 67 has this sort of focus, that all men should worship God. And it is quite an outward-looking psalm, a bold psalm, looking forward to the worship of God established on the face of the earth. It starts with God's people. And then from God's people, it moves to all the peoples of the earth. It's a bold psalm. And by many, it has been called the great missionary psalm, because of this great vision that God would establish the worship of His name on the earth. You'll notice as we work through this psalm, and we won't have time to look at every detail, but as we work through it, you'll notice that it is a praise song. But at the same time, it is also a prayer. It's like two horses pulling a carriage, running side by side. The one horse is called prayer, and the other is called praise. And so I want to invite you to consider with me from this psalm, in the first place, that we should ask God for great things. And then in the second place, we should praise God for great things. We should ask God for great things. Notice verses 1 and 2. And it sets really the tone for the rest of the psalm. God be merciful to us and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us, that Your way might be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations. There are basically two great prayer requests in these two verses, and they are connected. The first is that God be merciful to us. God be merciful to His people. And the second great prayer request is that God would make known His way, His salvation among all nations. And we'll consider both of these two prayer requests. The first, may God bless His people. This is a prayer request for God to bless the church. Just listen to those words again. May God be merciful to us and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us. Do you recognize those words? Have you heard them from somewhere else in Scripture before? Well, it sounds, doesn't it, like the words of the great priestly blessing, the great priestly benediction that we find in the book of Numbers, chapter 6. And perhaps you want to turn there Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. And we read there, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way that you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." God determined that priests would communicate on his behalf his blessing on Israel. This is the way that God wanted to bless his people. And if anyone is blessed in this way, they are profoundly blessed. Because this blessing speaks of God's protection, his guidance, his grace, and the peace of Almighty God with his people. It is a token of God's presence with them, his favor upon his people, if they receive this sort of blessing. It's interesting then, in this psalm, that this psalm is taking God's promised blessing upon his people and asking God in return to make it come to pass. It's, if you will, praying God's promises after him. Always a good example for us to follow. And the people of God is in need of God's blessing in order to remain God's people. We need God's blessing in order to remain faithful to God. We need God's blessing. And if God does not save us and protect us from the evil one, if God does not lead us in the way that we should go, if God does not give us grace to persevere, if God does not lavish us and bless us with spiritual gifts and favors for our nourishment, and if he does not sustain us and give us peace, we have no hope to survive as God's people. We need God's blessing. So the first great prayer request in the psalm is to ask for God's blessing upon his people. And let us do that. Let us, as the people of God, continue to ask God to bless us. But the psalm doesn't stop there with a request for God to bless his people, full stop, and nothing more. No, no, no. This prayer request is reaching greater heights, because this prayer request moves from God's people to all the peoples of the earth. Notice verse 2. The request that God will make his salvation known to all peoples. And it starts with the blessing of his own people. Notice verse 2. The word that God may bless his people in order that his salvation will be made known to all nations. So God's blessing to his people has a purpose. And one of those purposes are that his blessing will overflow from his people to all nations. Just look at this psalm. It's a bold prayer request that God will make his blessing overflow. Notice verse 3 and verse 5. Let the peoples praise you, O God. And verse 4. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Yes, perhaps all the nations are not praising God now, and all the peoples do not know God's ways. But this psalm is asking God to make his ways known on the earth. It is asking God to make the peoples rejoice in God. Apparently this song was sung by the people of God as far back as the 7th century BC, before Israel went into exile in Babylon. It would make this psalm about 2,500 years old. So ancient Israel and the Israelites and God's people throughout the generations had this expectation that God would make His salvation known among all nations. Where did they get it from? Where did they get this expectation from? You remember Abraham, that great servant of God. God made great promises to him. Way back in the book of Genesis. Remember Genesis chapter 12, and then it recurs in 15, 17, 21, and so on. Genesis chapter 12, God spoke to Abraham. And He said to Abraham, "Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you," God told him. "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." What great promises did God not make to Abraham? God promised him to make him a great nation, and through him bless all the families of the earth. God promised Abraham, and therefore also his descendants, that He will make them as many as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. God promised Abraham to be his God and the God of his descendants forever. And so God formed out of Abraham one nation, a chosen nation, Israel, through whom He would make His promises come to pass. To put it in other words, whom He would bless and through them bless all the peoples of the earth. And so Israel were carrying on their backs a load of promises, great promises, and therefore they were light to the Gentiles, because God had promised that He would bless His people, Israel, and through them, all the peoples. Now, if we just put our feet into the shoes of the Israelites of way back then, for a moment, and ask ourselves, did God actually answer the promises made to them? Did God actually then also answer the prayers that they made to God? Well, just about 600 years later, God would send His beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, the consolation of Israel, the Son of David. And through Him, He would become a blessing to all nations. Through Him, He would bless Israel. Just at the time of Pentecost, after Pentecost, Peter and John, the disciples, the apostles, went into the temple in Acts chapter 3, and they healed a lame man. And so the Jews were amazed at what they had done. So Peter stood up and he started to preach God's salvation to the Jews. And he said to them this, "Men of Israel, You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made to our fathers, saying to Abraham, in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed, to you first. Having raised up the Lord Jesus Christ, sent him to bless you, in turning you all, everyone, from his iniquities. So the Apostle Peter was able to stand up and say to these Israelites, show to them how God had fulfilled the promises that he had made to Abraham. The ultimate way of blessing of God to the Jews was through Abraham's seed. And the Apostle Paul tells us in no uncertain terms that it is indeed the Lord Jesus Christ who is the promised seed of Abraham. Galatians 3, verse 16. He says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. God's promises in Abraham were fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And consequently, all who put their trust in him are children of Abraham. We saw a bit earlier, didn't we, that God's blessing was communicated through the priests in Numbers chapter 6. God's blessing would flow from them as they spoke God's blessing upon the people. And here we have the Lord Jesus Christ, the ultimate high priest, communicating God's blessings. So the nation of Israel were indeed blessed through the Lord Jesus. But it didn't stop with them. It didn't end there. Because through the Lord Jesus Christ, the dam walls of God's blessing collapsed, and his blessings flew and flooded the nations. And today we are sitting here as the people of God, as evidence of the fact that God did indeed make his promises come to pass, that God did indeed answer the prayers of his people, that God will bless them and through them all the nations of the earth. If God blesses his people, the nations are indeed blessed. But this great calling that God had called Israel with is also the great calling of the church today. The church, the true Israel, people of God, are to be a blessing to the nations. The church is to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, a light to the nations. The Apostle Paul is really speaking the same message that we are speaking today. At one point, he appeared before the King Agrippa, and he said to King Agrippa, testifying to him, saying, I witness to both great and small, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, and that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and also to the Gentiles. And therefore it's right for us to pray this great prayer request, to ask God to bless us, so that in return all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And that's exactly what we see happening in the psalm, that God's people once again is praying God's promises after him. May God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. And where God's blessing is felt, it will give rise to praise. Where His saving grace is felt, people will praise God. And so, the praises of God is a fitting response, is it not, to His work of salvation. And that brings us to the second main point in the psalm, and that is that we should not only pray for great things, but we must also praise God for great things. We've mentioned right at the beginning of this sermon that the chief purpose of man is to worship God and enjoy Him forever. And the psalm is full of the worship of God, the praise of God. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the nations be glad and sing for joy. Let us therefore make it a point to praise God. And our praise of God must not stop here. The praise of God is not meant to be contained within our own lives, within our own families, within the walls of this church. No, it is meant to go beyond us, to all the peoples of the earth. And the psalm seems to give us this great and bold confidence in our God, that indeed God will establish the praise of His name on the face of the earth. Just notice verse 7, the words, God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. It's amazing, isn't it? We're praying for God to bless us. But at the same time and the same breath, God is giving us the assurance that He shall bless us and that all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. It gives us great confidence, doesn't it, in our God, that when we pray, God hears His people. And indeed, He will bring to pass what He has said. Have you heard of you have certainly heard of the saying, don't count your chickens before they hatch. Now we can quite easily fall into that trap where we say to ourselves, we will start praising God when we see the blessing of God, when we experience the blessing of God. But what the psalm is saying to us is that God will bless. God will make His way known. And therefore, we can have great confidence as we look to the future to already start praising God. In faith, we can praise God because God will make these things come to pass. If we look behind us, as we have done a little bit earlier, noticing the people of God 2,500 years ago, praising God, praying to God. And now in hindsight we can see that God did indeed make His ways known on the earth. He did indeed bless His people. And therefore we have every reason to praise God for great things. But we must close the sermon. And by way of application, the first is this, that we must test our motives for our own prayers and praises. If our prayers and our praises of God are merely driven by a desire for God to bless us, our church, our families, then our vision of God is far too small. Because God said, He will bless His church. And He said, all nations will praise Him. So let us ever keep that before us, because we serve a great God. The second, by way of application, is that if God blesses us, it brings accountability, doesn't it? If God is blessing us, we must make sure that that blessing overflows beyond us as we seek to be a blessing to all peoples, to all nations, to be a light of God's salvation. And we have a tremendous opportunity, don't we, in the place that the Lord has put us, to indeed be a blessing to all nations as we find them round about us. So may God help us that indeed we might be a blessing to the nations around us. The final point of application is this. Let us put those two horses who are pulling the carriage to work and keep them running. Let us keep on praying, praying without ceasing, and let us praise God without stopping as we expectantly look to God to bless His church and to make His way known to all peoples.